Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie. We continue in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and we thank you for the examples of these servants, Father, who have gone on before. Dear God, we understand that it is not a vain thing, God, to serve you. Father, it is life itself. And God, we find the joy as we follow you as Lord of our lives, Father, as we let you direct us, dear God. We learn what that abundant life is. And help us to follow in the example of the Apostle Paul and so many others, dear God, that we might do what we can do here. Father, we might rejoice in your name. We might be able to reach out to another and share with them the gospel as you would give opportunities, God. And help us to prayerfully seek those and to learn your word and to learn how to just share a word, God, with others when you give that. And fill my dear wife with your spirit, ministering online even now, and might they be edified there as well. We're thankful for each one with us online, and might each one be helped. Father, build your church, build us through your word, and help us, God, to glorify your name. And Father, we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So we are looking at faithfulness in ministry. We talked about God being witness and also judge of our work. And we're looking at B. The Apostle Paul knows that rewards are awaiting. Verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. God, so I charge you before God. God is watching on. He is the one that is assessing our works. He is the one that is assessing our labor. And by the way, he is the one that we will answer to personally. Once again, we labor together as a church, and what a blessing that is. But we don't stand before the judgment seat of Christ as a church. Amen. We stand before whatever God has called us and gifted us with, and the opportunities he's given us. We answer to him personally for that, and our rewards are according to that meeting. Paul says, I'm ready to be offered. He talked about this kind of righteousness laid up, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul knew that he did not labor in vain. As I was reading and studying down through this portion, actually a couple weeks ago, this certain part here, Paul writes that, you know, we think about all that Paul went through, and the list he gives of some of the things that he struggled in. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. And I thought, you know, something seems kind of unequal about that. You know, Paul, who went through all of that he went through, is going to get a crown of righteousness. And then people that just love is appearing, you know, are going to get a crown of righteousness. I thought
something seems out of balance there. But
as I thought about it more and more, I don't think that the Apostle Paul was separating all the labors that God had called him to from loving his appearing. That is, his ministry sprang from his love to Christ and from Christ's love to him. Those things weren't something separate that Paul added to his love for his appearing. It was his love for Christ that he longed for that appearing, and it was that love that produced that service. And I was challenged with that thought, examining our love. He knew he didn't labor in vain. In 1 Corinthians 9:17, the Apostle Paul talks about being the apostle to the Gentiles, and he says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. If my heart's in it, and if I do it willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." God has still called me. God's still going to hold me to it. If I do it begrudgingly against my will, I'll answer to him for that. He's not taking the calling away just because I might not feel like doing it or might not want to put my whole heart into it. No, but he says, but if I do it willingly, you know, if I'll do it willingly, then there's a reward laid up. He said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says he wanted to apprehend that for which I'm apprehended of Christ. Christ captured me to make me like him. And Paul said, I want to make that my pursuit also then, to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as Christ was obedient to the Father, so we are to be obedient to Christ. Amen. And Paul made that his desire and his goal. If I do it willingly, I have a reward. 1 Corinthians 9:17. It encourages us in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, what? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What? For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God is, our labor is not in vain. Anything that we're called to suffer for, any ministry that we're called to do, any wrongs that we are called to bear upon us for the glory of Christ, being mistreated perhaps, or persecutions, none of it is in vain. There is a reward, and God keeps track of all those things. Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." God's going to reveal his glory through us as we suffer whatever we suffer. And I think there's going to be rewards likely in heaven too regarding those things. But many times we get rewarded down here just because what? We sense his presence. Amen. And his spirit gives us that joy. And we have rewards down here as well as we serve the Lord. Peter, when in Luke 18, the rich young ruler had come and been turned away. Jesus taught his disciples about not serving money and those things, and then Peter responded to him in Luke 18:28, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said, Jesus unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left houses or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." God says there's nobody that surrenders anything, our time, talents, and treasures to God with our heart because we want to, because we love Jesus. There's nobody that does that and does not sense the rewards that God gives for that.
We've talked about that with missionaries, how that they can go around the world, it seems, and around the nation, around the world, and find a home just about anywhere they go. And many of them, by the way, have given up their home, so to speak, and yet they can go live here, they can go live there, they can go, you know, stay with this family. It's like who else can do that? You know, all around the world, when we have this like faith of believers all around the world who will welcome missionaries in. And that's one way that the Lord fulfills that thing. But he does bless both now and in heaven. And I believe that any service rendered for him as we yield to the Holy Spirit, he will manifest that reward. Amen. We're never sorry that we served him. We're never sorry that we yielded to the Holy Spirit. We're often sorry when we haven't, aren't we? And get convicted about that, but we're never sorry when we yield to the Spirit, when we do God's will. That's not always easy, but we're never sorry about that. And so, in general, in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews puts this out. In the Hebrews chapter 11, we call it, the Hall of Faith, where we see all those people that live by faith. And it begins that chapter, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God says you can't even have faith, really, unless you believe that. In other words, I am going to be better off in some way, in every way in which I obey the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to believe that. We are going to be better off in some way, in every aspect in where we yield to the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's going to be better for us. It's going to bring the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to rejoice in that. And by the way, those places where we don't, we are not going to be as well off, are we? It's going to bring grief, isn't it? We can see the reverse there as well. If we're going to be better off if we do, then certainly if we fail to do that, we're not going to be as good off as we would have been. You see that? And so we need to remember that. God doesn't let us go without reward. Amen. And his Spirit gives us that confidence within. And those rewards are manifested to us in our spirit. It might be that blessed peace that passes all understanding. Amen. That God just gives when you need it. And even though the circumstances haven't changed, sometimes we get that peace even when the circumstances get worse. and you just can't explain it. And God has his rewards, and will not regret serving him. Paul went through all that, and his service was spurred and a fruit of the love of the Spirit and his love toward Christ. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. I mean, we sit back and we examine just exactly who Christ is and what he did and what he went through. We can never review that too much. Amen. We haven't begun to plunge the fathom and depths and the depths of that love, and we'll be dipping from that vessel for all our time here. Amen. Growing in our love toward him and realizing how much he has loved us. And Paul confessed that driving power of that love, 1 Corinthians 5:13. For whether we be beside ourselves, you call us crazy. We act like you may think we act crazy sometimes. Whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The love of Christ constraineth us. Has the idea of making narrow. You know what happens to water when you make it go through a more narrow channel? It comes out with greater force, doesn't it? It comes out with greater vigor.
And the Apostle Paul realized that it was the love of Christ that had made them have a narrower or a focused life so that they could understand, this is not profitable, I don't need that, that's a sin, I certainly don't want to do that, that this is going to hinder my will. And their lives became narrowed by the Spirit with more force, with more focus for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of that great love that he has for us. For in Christ Jesus, Galatians 5:6, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. And if you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. And oh, the depths that people will go for love. Amen. There's no greater motivation than especially Spirit-filled love. Amen. And so when Paul says, and to them that love his appearing, he recognizes it was that very, he's encouraging us to have that love in our lives too, a love that would drive us in our calling, a love that would drive us to use our gifts in the same way. And so it's really not something different. It's inclusive of that. And if we love his appearing, we're longing for him to come. It's not just that, boy, I just can't wait till we get out of here. You know, there's so many problems and so much pain. And up there, that's all going to be gone. No, that love is it's a love toward Christ. It's a love for the one who died for us and to save us. Amen. We're going to be able to see those scars. We're going to be able to look at that side. We're going to be able to look into those eyes and see the love of Christ to us. That's going to be a wonderful time. I thought about how good God has been to us in our lives and all the blessings that he's poured out. And sometimes we get a little apprehensive about heaven because there's a lot of unknowns. And unknown things can be a little unsettling. You know, we think about dying and going and meeting him. And certainly, it's a fearful thing as well. He's the creator of the universe, amen? That's a fearful thing as well. But we remember, wait a minute, this is the one that loved me and died for me. This is the one that loves me more than I understand. This is the one that loves all that I love more than I love them, amen? And that's the one that we're going to go for. And that gives us a comfort, amen? That gives us a comfort in coming to him. In looking for his return, Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That affection there has the idea of your mind and what you're thinking. What are we seeking? What are we seeking with desire? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, what a powerful phrase, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. What did Paul say? For me to live is what? Christ. And to die is gain. If I'm going to be here, if God leaves me here on this planet alive with a pulse, then my life is to follow the Lord. My life is to please him. And by the way, in doing that, we find our life. Amen. He that loses life shall find it. He that saves his life shall lose it. He that loses life shall find it. Jesus said, "I'm gonna keep my life. I'm gonna do what I want to do and make my plans and not follow God here, not follow God there. No, you'll miss it. You'll miss all the joy that God has for you. You'll miss the usefulness that God has for you. And so would I. We'd miss that. But no, I want to yield my life to you. I want to surrender my life to you. That's where we're going to find and experience this life and this abundant life that God has for us in Christ. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, amen, that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, anxiously awaiting his return and laboring thereto. Paul commended the church at Thessalonica, one among the churches. Philippians, the church at Philippi was another, who were filled with the Spirit and were commended of the Apostle Paul for their faith and for their labors in Christ. And he writes to them in 1 Thessalonians 1:7, so that you are in samples or to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. That's what we want to be. We want to be an example to other believers, don't we? We want to be a sample of what a believer should be. Amen. You were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, the giving out of the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves, the changes in your life, the labors that you're doing, the work, the spreading of the gospel, though in the midst of great persecution, for they themselves, the things that God has done through that message, show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. This is proof that when we entered in unto you and preached the gospel, you received it. And you were transformed. You were born again. What you're doing and what you are suffering and yet remaining faithful, this is proof that you received the word and that you've been born again. He says, they themselves show of us what manner of ending we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They could see that. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now they turned. What turned? Their heart turned, didn't it? Their heart within them turned. Could the apostles see that when their heart turned? No, they couldn't. Guess who could see it? God could, couldn't he? God could see it. But what did their turned heart do? It began to produce those works and those changes. And so Paul says, we're thankful. That showed us, that gave us comfort, because we can't see, people can't see your faith without works. That comforted us and showed us, yeah, they got it. They're born again. And God already knew that before they even started doing any works, okay? He already knew that. But the apostles found comfort in that because that's what men need to see. Men see faith through works. God sees faith without works, and faith will produce works. So they said, the church at Thessalonica, for they themselves show of us what entering we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve living and true God. And look at verse 10, 1 Thessalonians 1:7, and to wait, an anxious awaiting, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So they did all that, and Paul described them as being filled with the Spirit. And so what are they longing for? They're longing to see Jesus. They're longing for him to come. Remember, they really thought he'd come back at any time. And so they're looking for him. Paul wrote in a way that he expected he very well could be one of the, they could be those that are still alive when he returns. We read that. It was an imminent return. But what were they doing? They were waiting for his Son from heaven. I think about that. Think about how that pictures the Christian life. Turn to God from idols. That's the change in the heart. To serve the living and true God. There's the outward manifestation. And to serve the living and true God in 1 Thessalonians 1 there. And then what? To wait for his Son from heaven. Why are we doing all this? Because Jesus said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And that's when all this will be judged by Christ. We'll know everything that was done with pure motives and things that weren't, things that were done in the flesh, things that were done in the Spirit. It'll all be sorted out. And so we think about that. 1 John 3:2-3 in closing. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Think about that. You're a child of God now. We are sons of God now. We have an heavenly Father, amen. We're children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, amen. I mean, that's an amazing
an amazing thing. In 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Wow. We're going to be like him. We're getting ready to go on a trip. We'll be in Florida for a while. We'll be in Washington for a while. It's actually supposed to be rather cool in Florida. My wife, he was telling me that earlier in reading, it was going to be warmer, but it's going to be like in the low 60s during the day, which for Florida this time is pretty. In the 50s at night, that's kind of cool. So we have to pack accordingly to where we're going. If you're going to go visit Alaska, it's going to, that your luggage is going to look a little different than if you're going to go visit Hawaii, is it not? And so we ought to be packing according to where we're going. Amen. According to where we're going. So in 1 John 3:2, we talked about it doth not yet appear what we shall be. When he shall appear, we'll be like him. And it continues, 1 John 3:3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Why is that? Because we're going to heaven, and heaven's a pure place. We're going to stand before our pure and perfect Lord. That's where we're going. We're going to a place and going to spend eternity in a place where there is never even another thought of sin or remembrance of sin. That's where we're going. And so God says, so start packing up. Amen. Let's get rid of that stuff. Amen. And let the Holy Spirit what? Transform our lives so that we're more and more like the place where we're going. Like the one that we're going to see, amen, when we get there. And that's how God wants us to be. Every man that hath this hope, if we're hanging on to that hope, God says we're going to be purifying it. We're going to be getting ready. We're going to be purifying ourselves. And that's we know that's the Holy Spirit as we yield to the Word of God, changing us more and more into his image. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. And you've said that we look into it as a glass and we're changed from image to image, God. And as we look into your word and you convict us, and we pray and for change, and you change us, God. And that cycle continues, Lord. And we're thankful for the victories that you've given us, Father, the victories that you've showed us how to claim and how to go forward in our lives, and help us in areas where we might still struggle, might still stumble, Father. Help us to claim those victories there as well. And we do pray, dear God, that we would be more like Christ, that we would follow you more closely, dear God. We do pray that you would purify your lives, that we might be a peculiar people, zealous of good works, Father, and work these things in our hearts and lives for your glory. Your love is worthy of all of rendering to you all that you've given us in Christ, and following you and pursuing you as the Apostle Paul and so many others have done before us. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory.